97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. I had to turn my own headphones down. Whoever was sitting over here last must be more deaf than I am after years of having headphones and IFBs in their ear, honestly.
What does that do to your hearing?
I don't
know.
Can't
be a good thing.
It can't be a good thing. But happy Friday. Glad we're all here this morning, right? Including Carl Middleman, who had a fantastic day at the ballpark yesterday.
I was one of 17 people there.
Man, that was depressing.
I saw that.
Look, record low attendance again.
Now, it was super hot yesterday.
It was.
When they did the national anthem, I saw the picture of the stadium. It was
those kids.
Empty. Mm-hmm. It was empty.
I know school is back in session. I know it's so hot. I get it. But if the Cardinals were doing better, it would not have been
empty.
Yeah,
that's true.
You can only excuse so much of it.
Part of the problem is some people, I'm not naming names, opted to go lounge in the pool at the local Cardinal Way and watch the game on the big screen instead of being over there at the stadium. Now, I don't know who that would be, but I do know people. Oh, Carl Middleman.
He's not talking about that. You, Carl.
Yes, he is talking about Carl Middleman, who had a great day. The Cards, did they win? They won, didn't they?
4-1.
The bats were hot. The people were hot.
It was a good day for sports. Mizzou crushed it. Illinois crushed it. The Cardinals won.
So
it was 0-0 for a long time, and then it was 2-0.
Of course, as your trusty host, I had to do my due diligence and try to watch the Kamala tryout last night on CNN. And I mean, we'll talk more about this morning about that. Talk about an hour of softball questions. Dana Bash should retire after that. That was embarrassing. Like, I haven't seen a journalist soft pedal and suck up to a politician like that since they were all fawning over Barack Obama. But some of what Obama said had some substance to it, at least. They didn't even follow up when she would say, you know, something about being unburdened by the presence of time. I mean, just nonsense comes out of her mouth, and there's no attempt by the so-called journalist to say, wait a minute, what does that mean, Mrs. Vice President? Well, I don't understand what that means. So anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm not going to get into my TV problems, but I'm trying to figure out how to watch CNN because our Hulu has changed, and now we get to Hulu through Disney Plus. But when you get to Hulu through Disney Plus, you don't have a rundown of TV stations. You just got a bunch of different movies and stuff you can watch. But getting to networks and watching is something is not possible anymore. I find this out at 8:02 last night when I'm trying to watch Kamala. I was very frustrated. And I finally found a new app that our friend told us about, and I was able to watch it on there. But regardless, I watch what I can of it, and then I decide, oh, I forgot my kids at that Mizzou game. I better flip over and see how they're doing. And it was already 35-0 by the time I flipped over to see them score the Mizzou game. Wow. Murray State just didn't show up, did they?
I guess not.
No. Well, they were playing the number 11 team in the country. So I don't know how good or bad Murray State's going to do in their particular conference this year. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who they play, but I'm just saying they were clearly overmatched by the Tigers last night. Good way to start off the season.
Going back to the CNN frustration, it's funny you say that because I almost texted you because I, too, was super irritated. I was running around the house trying to get things done, tried to turn on CNN at 8 o'clock, and I can't get it on my TV. I'm just going to my phone, and it wants me to add in all my Spectrum information. That was super irritating. I'm entering all the information. It's not going. So I'm trying to go back and watch individual clips last night that I can find on social media. Then this morning I saw that CNN posted part one, part two, part three. I don't know if there's more parts beyond that. That's as far as I got beside the individual clips I watched.
Now, did I miss Dana? Did I miss? I know Carl didn't watch it. I miss Dana explaining whether or not they selectively edited it?
I didn't see anything about that.
Because they would come back to her and she would introduce the next segment of the interview. Part of it was them walking off a bus and her talking to them at some event. And then there was the sit down. I mean, I think they did that on purpose so they could claim, well, it was the interview was at two different locations and we couldn't do it live and blah, de, blah, de, blah. Here's the truth for you this morning. Actually, I'm going to save the truth for you till you hear this morning's top stories, Carl Middleman. Then we'll get to the truth.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You were a very staunch defender of President Biden's capacity to serve another 4 years right after the debate. Do you have any regrets about what you told the American people?
No, not at all.
She lied. Joe Biden is a vegetable sitting on a beach somewhere right now, and she knew it the entire time.
We were talking about, in this case, this was after a school shooting, the ideas of carrying these weapons of war. And my wife, the English tone, my grammar's not always correct.
Lying about serving in a war zone is not a grammar issue. It's an honesty issue, Tim Walz. Come on.
Now she's saying, oh, we want to build a strong border. Where has she been for 3.5 years as we took in 20 million people?
Well, I think that's a really good question, don't you? Oh, I did what I was supposed to do. We've sent a lot of money to those countries, and it's made a difference in the number of people coming to this country, said the woman whose administration set records every month they were in office for the amount of people coming into this country.
Do you dismiss or deny the current issues facing our country, such as historic inflation, illegal immigration, corporate corruption, World War III escalations, and the chronic disease epidemic?
You might have TDS. I love that. That ad put out by Nicole Shanahan, RFK Jr.'s running mate.
I love how she's 100% on board with the Trump campaign.
Oh, yeah.
The switch happened fast.
But Kim, honestly, like you, she had an epiphany at some point, and she now sees it clearly what the left is doing in lying to people. And this ad is like 2 minutes long. I've cut it up into a couple segments so we can listen to it this morning. But it's true. Like, it just shows these mind-numbed robots watching the TV and you know, listening to everything CNN tells them about Orange Man Bad. She's like, don't be a robot. Mm-hmm. You're being fed lies here about this stuff. Wake up is basically what the message is here. Now, back to my point. Here I fear is the truth about what happened last night. Other than the debate, I don't know that you're going to see another interview with Kamala Harris between now and Election Day. And why does Mark think that? Kim, do you have any idea why Mark thinks that? Because we got an email this morning from our boss. Actually, I guess it was from somebody at the corporate level here telling us what the rules are for using the audio from this CNN interview. Now, I've seen a lot of exclusive interviews over the years come down from the network, not just CNN, but a Fox or ABC or NBC, but like during the Olympics, for example. There's a time period during which you can run highlights, and then after that, you're not supposed to anymore. CNN has put out all of these rules for news organizations and radio shows and TV shows for airing clips from last night's interview with Kamala Harris, making it very clear that every clip you run, there's a limit on how long you can run it. It can't run more than like 3 minutes or something like that. And each and every time, you have to credit CNN with the interview. You have to say, this is from CNN. These are CNN's restrictions on what you can use. Now, what that tells me is CNN has a strong feeling everybody's going to want this sound because, number one, she hasn't done an interview yet, and number two, she may not do another one. I think she's getting advice. She managed to get 15 softball questions from Dana Bash. She can now claim she's spoken to journalists and addressed issues, and she may feel like she doesn't need to do it anymore. I don't. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good prediction. I could see her doing maybe one or two other ones, but I think it's going to be quite some time. And her excuse is going to be, well, I'm going out and I'm talking to the people. I'm campaigning. We're on the road. Now, is that a valid excuse? Absolutely not. Trump's doing the same thing. And both he and J.D. Vance make more than enough time for any press interview that there seems approached about.
Yeah.
So that's just a lie. But I feel like that's what she's going to say.
Right. I haven't seen restrictions like that come down in a long time on an interview, like particularly from a news organization, because the belief is even if you got an exclusive interview with Donald Trump, he's going to be talking to somebody else 2 days from now. So I wouldn't need to tell everybody, hey, you have to every time you use that bite from my show, you have to say this came exclusively from CNN or you might get in trouble for it. Because he's going to be talking to somebody else answering the same question tomorrow or the next day. They must believe she's not going to do this again for a long time, and they want to make sure that they own it. So that's just my two cents on what's going on here this morning. I want to get to some of the specific sound bites from her, and I will right after this. Carl Middleman, I'm assuming we don't have any Sammy Hagar this morning because it's Friday.
Because we played it yesterday, and it was not the best.
Oh,
so,
come on.
As requested, the fray.
Which is a new way forward and turn the page on the last decade of what I believe has been contrary to where the spirit of our country really lies.
But the last decade, of course, the last 3.5 years has been part of your administration.
I'm talking about an era that started about a decade ago, where there is some suggestion, warped, I believe it to be, that the measure of the strength of a leader is based on who you beat down, instead of where I believe most Americans are, which is to believe that the true measure of the strength of a leader is based on who you lift up.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
I mean, honestly, this was from the interview last night.
I want to talk about the last decade and where leaders just try to beat people down.
Yeah, but you've been vice president for 3.5 years. And help me with my math here, Kim St. Ange. If you subtract 10 years from 2024, what year does that get you to?
If you subtract 10 years from 2024, 2012. 10 year? Oh, sorry, 2014. My gosh. Mark, okay. Don't ask me to do math at 5:24 a.m. That was really sad.
And in 2014, Kim St. Ange, who was president of the United States?
What is that?
I don't know. Who was president of the United States in 2024?
In 2024?
2014.
Barack Obama?
Thank you. So, and Joe Biden.
Right, so you're saying it was Barack Obama.
He didn't become president until 2016 when he got elected and got sworn in January of 2017, right? And so if you add that up, 3.5 years for her now, 2.5 years for Barack Obama, more than half of the decade she's talking about, this decade of awful, treating other people awfully, was owned by the Democrats.
Right.
More than half of the decade. Was she blasting Barack Hussein Obama?
No, it's an era, Mark.
It's an era.
It's like a feeling that she has. You
can't be unburdened by the time Barack was in office. You have to be burdened only by the portion of that time that Donald Trump was in office. I mean, this thing was unbelievable. And let's talk about Dana Bash for a minute. I'm sorry, but that was some of the weakest attempts at journalism I've ever seen. I mean, the way she worded these questions sounded like she was in a room with two of her best friends, and she just didn't want to directly ask them the question, so she had to soft pedal everything. Listen to this.
Generally speaking, how should voters look at some of the changes that you've made, that you've explained some of here in your policy? Is it because you have more experience now and you've learned more about the information? Is it because you were running for president in a Democratic primary? And should they feel comfortable and confident that what you're saying now is going to be your policy moving forward?
That took her 45 seconds.
And she also kind of answered it for her.
She's giving her potential answers to the question.
Right.
How about, Ms. Vice President, Why have you flip-flopped on major issues?
Yep.
The economy, on fracking, on the Green
illegal,
New
on
Deal.
The, on the border, on illegal the border. Immigration.
Why
yep.
have you
Crime.
Flip-flopped on all of this?
Yeah.
Don't offer her answers to the question.
That bothered me, too.
I mean, for God's sake, you're running interference for somebody. You know the lights are on, but the several people who reside in there aren't home.
She missed a lot of opportunities to follow up. Like, she had a couple good questions, but then as soon as Kamala would just kind of trail off, she didn't press her on
she
it.
She didn't follow up on any
She didn't
any
follow
of it.
Up. What is your actual stance on it? That's what I would have said.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does
Mrs.
it even
Vice
mean?
President?
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. It was painful is what it was. All right, coming up, we will get to Kim on a whim this morning. We got a lot more to come for you here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
You know, Mark, you and I have talked about NIL and our thoughts on that with these college athletes who have picked up some big deals. In fact, Brady Cook, we know from Mizzou, is working with Sugar Fire, and I believe it's because he has some family ties. I think his uncle or something works there. So that's kind of a...
No, I think his parents own a couple of the franchises. Out of the, they don't own the company Sugarfire, but they own like three or four restaurants.
One of the locations.
But okay. I mean, good for him. And they got the company
deal.
To sponsor part of his NIL deal. That's great.
I mean, these college athletes can make thousands and millions of dollars.
Some of them can make millions.
They don't even have to ever go into the NFL. I mean, who needs the NFL?
You could potentially make
a ridiculous amount of money and you never make it there. So anyway, I found this very interesting because this U.S. Senator from Montana, I'd never heard of him if I'm being honest, John Tester.
Yep.
John Tester. Okay. He's a Democrat.
Yeah.
And
about to be a former senator from Montana, but go ahead.
Hopefully. So he's running for his fourth term there.
Yeah.
Well, there's a group called Montana Together that is reaching out to student athletes at the University of Montana and offering pretty big payments if they're agreeing to promote this senator.
You're kidding me.
Listen to this. The group was offering student athletes between $400 and $2,400 in exchange for a video that, quote unquote, spreads the word about this senator. This is the breakdown of it. These athletes would get $400 if they agreed to do two scripted videos, $800 if they agreed to do two unscripted videos, although I'm sure there'd have to be some sort of an approval process. $2,400 to record four unscripted videos. So is that the way this is going to go down? Is that politics is now going to get involved with NIL? Because I just thought of it as like a chip company or some random business wants to partner, or like a clothing brand, not politicians running for re-election.
If there are no limitations on it, what would stop a college student athlete from endorsing a marijuana dispensary?
Morals. That's what would stop them.
No,
and that's about it. And they don't
but
have and they don't have that many. And that's the problem is that people will do this who don't even support him because they want the money.
Yeah. My point is, I think there are rules against certain things. I can't imagine a university would allow a student athlete to take money in return for political advertising. I could be wrong, but is it at University of Montana athletes
that
they're going after?
University of Montana, but his campaign, Tester's campaign, is like, oh no, we have no knowledge. We're not even in communication with that group. This is Montana Together is just totally separate, doing its
like
own
better
thing.
Together.
I guess.
Nuts.
I mean, come on. You want us to believe that you had no knowledge of this going on? That's nonsense. What I do appreciate in this article I found, there's a UMT track athlete who's also a journalism major, actually, Mark. So this is I think, hopeful for us for the future of journalism, maybe depending on what she goes into after college. And she was saying how she felt immediate frustration when she opened up her email and saw this offer, because she said, I had to ask myself, why would someone seek my endorsement when their values directly negatively impact me? Because he is in favor of men competing against women in sports. So she's like, as a female athlete, why would I ever want to throw my support behind somebody? So thank goodness someone has morals there.
Yeah.
But if you're dangling the carrot of, hey, record a quick four unscripted videos and you're going to get $2,400.
I have been against this NIL deal since it started, and I continue to be a staunch opponent to the entire idea of it. Because for years, and I don't want to sidetrack your point here, but for years, the discussion in college athletics was, it's just not fair. Some of these poor athletes come from poor backgrounds. They come from housing projects. They get on these university campuses. And yeah, their tuition's taken care of. And yeah, their room and board's taken care of. But it's not fair because they're around all these other students that have spending money and they have cars and they can go out on the weekends. And these kids have nothing. You should pay college athletes. So we went from that argument to a situation where those kids, unless they're the star of the team, are still poor, still don't get money for going out on the weekends or whatever it is the hell people wanted them to get money for. But the few kids that are the cream of the crop at the school can go out and sign $1 million name, image, likeness deals and make millions of dollars during their 1 or 2 years at a university that has given them free tuition and education and boarding while they're there to begin with. So they're getting paid, and then they're making money on top of that. It defies logic. I might have been convinced at some point to give each of the student athletes a stipend. You get $500 a month while you're a student athlete here, so that you have some spending money in your pocket. Everybody gets it, same amount. The star quarterback gets the same amount as the backup kicker. That's what you get. But now you've created a situation where there's going to be a lot of animosity in that locker room. Yep. Because Joe quarterback down there is banking $1.5 million because of the local car dealership, and the other schmucks don't get anything.
I agree. I think this is going to cause a lot of tension on the field. I think you're going to see it. You have schools like, I think, of Alabama and Ohio State. I mean, a lot of these bigger schools are going to be able to offer more, right? Because I understand that some of that money would be dependent on the company that they're partnering with. But yeah, my understanding of this is that it also depends on the university. So a lot of these bigger universities are understandably going to offer a bit more. And so people are going to be moving around a lot more to make more money. Which is understandable. I don't know if it's going to make people more competitive in the sense that if they don't think they're ever going to get to the NFL, they're going to try harder in college to at least make a name for themselves. That's the only thing I could possibly think of is like, oh, that's a good thing that has come out of NIL.
I don't know.
Other than that, I agree with you. Give people a stipend and make it fair, because this is not, I don't think this is a good idea either.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but I'm a University of Kentucky fan.
What?
And there are bitter, hateful people out there from smaller schools that really don't matter in the scheme of things, who argue that, well, the big schools like Kentucky have always paid their athletes, which is, I think, nonsense. There have been cases where people have been caught, including UCLA and even Kentucky years ago, where there were allegations of certain alumni paying athletes cash. But those are far and few between, and very few have been actually taken to court and adjudicated and proven that the alumni were paying the student athletes. It was illegal for a long time. They have now legalized it, and even schools that don't have like a winning tradition, like an Alabama or someone like that, but have huge bases of alumni who are rich, like Texas A&M and some of these other universities. Now, I'm not saying Texas A&M doesn't have a good football program. Don't get me wrong. But some of these schools that have not been at the top of college athletics can now leverage that cash from their alumni, and they can compete with an Alabama for some of these top athletes who care more about how much money they're going to get than which university they play for. And what that turns college football into is the NFL.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's wrong. I disagree with it. They shouldn't be able to do it. They never should have started this nonsense, because it's like a government program. Once you start it, they never go away, and things only get bigger. So now they can't stop NIL because people are going to start screaming and moaning about that. So effectively ruined college sports. It's why Nick Saban got out of coaching, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all.
Also, think about this. You mentioned earlier how a number of these football players, for example, let's just talk about football, you have your entire college paid for, right? Room and board, like everything is basically covered for you, okay?
Yes.
I don't know if this is news to anybody, but they're not forced to play, okay? They have the choice. So I understand that they're not going to have time to get a side hustle where they can then generate income. I get that, which is why I think the stipend is a really good idea, and I hadn't thought of that before. But you're never going to convince me like you should feel so sad for these players. I'm sorry, they don't have to play. They're playing probably because, I don't know, they love the sport.
They do love the sport.
So don't act like it's like they're being waterboarded and tortured when you bring them there to play. I mean, they chose, unless they have crazy controlling parents who basically force them, which I highly doubt is happening, because then you need to put on your big boy pants and say, Mom and Dad, no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you made this choice, okay? You have your entire... I would love to have had my college paid for, because guess what? Unlike these people who are having theirs just wiped away, their debt by the Biden administration, I actually paid off my loans. Well, I know this is crazy, and not a lot of people do that these days.
Supreme Court smacked them down on that this week.
Yeah, but people have already had... They've already had... I mean, yeah. So...
Yep, I'm with you. I'm on board with that. I think it's crazy what they've done. By the way, you may completely disagree with us on this, and you may be one of these libertarian, hair down to your rear end kind of people who like to smoke pot and shoot guns. Guess what? There was a court ruling yesterday in your favor. Did you hear this? Because right now, if you own a gun, or you try to go buy a gun, but you smoke pot regularly, you're lying on your form 4473, just like Hunter Biden, when you fill out that form if you say that you're not currently using an illegal substance, because it's federally illegal. But there was a big court decision yesterday in the state of Texas, and we're going to talk to Evan Brown about that coming up in the next hour at about 6:20, that could have a big impact on this. I don't know how widespread the effect is.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
You know, Mark, you and I have talked about NIL and our thoughts on that with these college athletes who have picked up some big deals. In fact, Brady Cook, we know from Mizzou, is working with Sugarfire, and I believe it's because he has some family ties. I think his uncle or something works there. So that's kind of
I think his parents own a couple of the franchises. They don't own the company Sugarfire, but they own like three or four restaurants.
One of the locations.
But I mean, good for him. They got the company to sponsor part of his NIL deal. That's great.
I mean, these college athletes can make thousands and millions of dollars.
Some of them can make millions.
They don't even have to ever go into the NFL. I mean, who needs the NFL?
You could potentially make
a ridiculous amount of money and you never make it there. So anyway, I found this very interesting because this U.S. Senator from Montana, I'd never heard of him if I'm being honest, John Tester.
Yep.
John Tester. Okay. He's a Democrat.
Yep.
And
about to be a former senator from Montana, but go ahead.
Hopefully. So he's running for his fourth term there.
Yeah.
Well, there's a group called Montana Together that is reaching out to student athletes at the University of Montana and offering pretty big payments if they're agreeing to promote this senator.
You're kidding me.
Listen to this. The group was offering student athletes between $400 and $2,400 in exchange for a video that, quote unquote, spreads the word about this senator. This is the breakdown of it. These athletes would get $400 if they agreed to do two scripted videos, $800 if they agreed to do two unscripted videos, although I'm sure there'd have to be some sort of an approval process, $2,400 to record four unscripted videos. So is that the way this is going to go down? Is that politics is now going to get involved with NIL? Because I just thought of it as like a chip company or some random business wants to partner, or like a clothing brand, not politicians running for re-election.
If there are no limitations on it, what would stop a college student athlete from endorsing a marijuana dispensary?
Morals. That's what would stop them.
No,
and that's about it. And they don't
have
that many. And that's the problem, people will do this who don't even support him because they want the money.
Yeah. My point is, I think there are rules against certain things. I can't imagine a university would allow a student athlete to take money in return for political advertising. I could be wrong, but what, like, is it at University of Montana athletes they're going after?
University of Montana, his campaign, Tester's campaign is like, oh no, we have no knowledge. We're not even in communication with that group. This is, Montana Together is just totally separate, doing its
like
own
better
thing.
Better Together.
I guess. I mean, come on, you want us to believe that you had no knowledge of this going on? That's nonsense. What I do appreciate in this article I found, there's a UMT track athlete who's also a journalism major, actually, Mark. So this is I think, hopeful for us for the future of journalism, maybe depending on what she goes into after college. And she was saying how she felt immediate frustration when she opened up her email and saw this offer, because she said, I had to ask myself, why would someone rather seek my endorsement when their values directly negatively impact me? Because he is in favor of men competing against women in sports. So she's like, as a female athlete, why would I ever want to throw my support behind somebody? So thank goodness someone has morals there.
Yeah.
But if you're dangling the carrot of, hey, record a quick 4 unscripted videos and you're going to get $2,400.
I have been against this NIL deal since it started, and I continue to be a staunch opponent to the entire idea of it, because for years, and I don't want to sidetrack your point here, but for years, the discussion in college athletics was, it's just not fair. Some of these poor athletes come from poor backgrounds. They come from housing projects. They get on these university campuses, and yeah, their tuition's taken care of, and yeah, their room and board's taken care of, but it's not fair because they're around all these other students that have spending money, and they have cars, and they can go out on the weekends, and these kids have nothing. You should pay college athletes. So we went from that argument to a situation where those kids, unless they're the star of the team, are still poor, still don't get money for going out on the weekends or whatever it is the hell people wanted them to get money for. But the few kids that are the cream of the crop at the school can go out and sign $1 million name, image, likeness deals and make millions of dollars during their 1 or 2 years at a university that has given them free tuition and education and boarding while they're there to begin with. So they're getting paid, and then they're making money on top of that. It defies logic. I might have been convinced at some point to give each of the student athletes a stipend. You get $500 a month while you're a student athlete here, so that you have some spending money in your pocket. Everybody gets it, same amount. The star quarterback gets the same amount as the backup kicker. That's what you get. But now you've created a situation where there's going to be a lot of animosity in that locker room.
Yep.
Because Joe quarterback down there is banking $1.5 million because of the local car dealership, and the other schmucks don't get anything.
I agree. I think this is going to cause a lot of tension on the field. I think you're going to see it. You have schools like, I think of Alabama and Ohio State. I mean, a lot of these bigger schools are going to be able to offer more, right? Because I understand that some of that money would be dependent on the company that they're partnering with. But yeah, my understanding of this is that it also depends on the university. So a lot of these bigger universities are understandably going to offer a bit more. And so people are going to be moving around a lot more to make more money, which is understandable. I don't know if it's going to make people more competitive in the sense that if they don't think they're ever going to get to the NFL, they're going to try harder in college to at least make a name for themselves. That's the only thing I could possibly think of. Is like, oh, that's a good thing that has come out of NIL.
I don't know.
Other than that, I agree with you. Give people a stipend and make it fair, because this is not, I don't think this is a good idea either.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but I'm a University of Kentucky fan.
What?
And there are bitter, hateful people out there from smaller schools that really don't matter in the scheme of things, who argue that, well, the big schools like Kentucky have always paid their athletes, which is, I think, nonsense. There have been cases where people have been caught, including UCLA and even Kentucky years ago, where there were allegations of certain alumni paying athletes cash. But those are far and few between, and very few have been actually taken to court and adjudicated and proven that the alumni were paying the student athletes. It was illegal for a long time. They have now legalized it, and even schools that don't have like a winning tradition, like an Alabama or someone like that, but have huge bases of alumni who are rich, like Texas A&M and some of these other universities. Now, I'm not saying Texas A&M doesn't have a good football program. Don't get me wrong. But some of these schools that have not been at the top of college athletics can now leverage that cash from their alumni, and they can compete with an Alabama for some of these top athletes who care more about how much money they're going to get than which university they play for. And what that turns college football into is the NFL.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's wrong. I disagree with it. They shouldn't be able to do it. They never should have started this nonsense, because it's like a government program. Once you start it, they never go away, and things only get bigger. So now they can't stop NIL because people are going to start screaming and moaning about that. So they have effectively ruined college sports. It's why Nick Saban got out of coaching, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all.
Also, think about this. You mentioned earlier how a number of these football players, for example, let's just talk about football, you have your entire college paid for, right? Room and board, like everything is basically covered for you, okay?
Yes.
I don't know if this is news to anybody, but they're not forced to play, okay? They have the choice. So I understand that they're not going to have time to get a side hustle where they can then generate income. I get that, which is why I think the stipend is a really good idea, and I hadn't thought of that before. But you're never going to convince me like you should feel so sad for these players. I'm sorry, they don't have to play. They're playing probably because, I don't know, they love the sport.
They do love the sport.
So don't act like it's like they're being waterboarded and tortured when you bring them there to play. I mean, they chose, unless they have crazy controlling parents who basically force them, which I highly doubt is happening, because then you need to put on your big boy pants and say, Mom and Dad, no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you made this choice, okay? You have your entire... I would love to have had my college paid for, because guess what? Unlike these people who are having theirs just wiped away, their debt by the Biden administration, I actually paid off my loans. Well, I know this is crazy, and not a lot of people do that these days.
Supreme Court smacked them down on that this week.
But yeah, but people have already had...
They've already had...
So...
Yep, I'm with you. I'm on board with that. I think it's crazy what they've done. By the way, you may completely disagree with us on this, and you may be one of these libertarian, hair down to your rear end kind of people who like to smoke pot and shoot guns. Guess what? There was a court ruling yesterday in your favor. Did you hear this? Because right now, if you own a gun, or you try to go buy a gun, but you smoke pot regularly, you're lying on your form 4473, just like Hunter Biden, when you fill out that form, if you say that you're not currently using an illegal substance, because it's federally illegal. But there was a big court decision yesterday in the state of Texas, and we're going to talk to Evan Brown about that coming up in the next hour at about 6:20. That could have a big impact on this. I don't know how widespread the effect is. We'll find out from Evan in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Little Van Halen for you. Carl's going down the set list for me. I've got my 2012 Van Halen concert t-shirt on this morning. Saving the classic black Van Halen t-shirt with the original VH emblem for the show on Saturday, Carl.
And you can buy a new one there, Mark.
I can buy a new one there. I wonder what it'll be called. Just Best of All Worlds. Is that what they're calling this tour?
Yeah.
Something like that? I don't know. Should be good. Looking forward to it. Already making the plans. Can't wait to see Sammy and the boys
this
along
is
with Kenny Aronoff.
Favorite song.
Oh, boy.
No comment.
Come on, baby. Close your eyes. All right. Just as I promoted Evan Brown coming up in a few minutes, he called us and he canceled on us.
Well, he didn't call. His people called.
He's got people who called.
Because his phone is messing up.
His people called your people.
Whatever. But it's pretty funny. I got a message because of my snarky comment about long hair hippie type libertarians who smoke dope and shoot guns, and pointed out that currently you're violating the law when you do that. And one of my attorney friends wrote in and said that not only is he in favor of the athletes getting paid, He wishes he had long hair down to his butt, but he's still a libertarian hairless person. I love you guys. You know that. I'm just giving you a little bit of grief. But we will. I'll talk about the lawsuit, the U.S. appeals court that ruled that a pot-smoking gun owner in Texas cannot be prosecuted for violating a federal ban on the use of illegal drugs and owning firearms at the same time. I don't know how they arrived at that logic, because it's still illegal federally to buy pot. Now, Congress needs to fix that. I agree with that. As much as I don't like pot, I agree that Congress needs to fix that, because it's legal in so many states now. There's just no reason to have that conflict.
More than half now.
Well, I'm just saying they got to fix it. But for now, it's not fixed. I don't know how a federal appeals court judge arrived at that ruling. But we were going to get Evan on, and by golly, we didn't do that. Hey, let's get back to Nicole Shanahan real quick, Carl. Because I thought that that bite was that was pretty funny that I sent to you yesterday. which one is that on my list here?
20 and 21.
Oh, it's down at the bottom. There it is. So Nicole Shanahan, I can't even say her name this morning, is RFK's vice presidential candidate. And, of course, they've now endorsed Donald Trump. She's put this ad out that's almost 2 minutes long, talking to her former fellow liberals on reality these days. Go to cut 20, please.
Are you or your loved ones suffering from illnesses such as TDS, also known as Trump derangement syndrome? Do you dismiss or deny the current issues facing our country, such as historic inflation, illegal immigration, corporate corruption, World War III escalations, and the chronic disease epidemic? Are you willing to elect someone who was the least popular vice president in modern history, and who offers no policy or vision for America simply because your brain keeps telling you anyone but Trump? If so, you might be struggling from TDS. Introducing Independence. Independence allows you the freedom to finally think independently once again. Instead of believing everything you hear from the mainstream media, Independence allows for constructive critical thinking.
I used to hear people on the news say things like,
Donald Trump and the movement he has encouraged are a threat to democracy.
And I instantly believed it.
That's good.
It really is well done. The visual portion of it, if you can find it online, is even better, because it shows people sitting on a TV, mind-numbed, watching the TV, and a picture of Donald Trump comes up, and they open their mouths shocked, like they can't. They're shocked by even seeing him laying a wreath at Arlington National Cemetery.
Yeah, that whole fiasco surrounding that was ridiculous. This is nitpicking. I wish they would have said, do you suffer from da-da-da-da-da? You might have Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
So that people don't just tune it out. As soon as they hear Trump, people who have Trump derangement syndrome would instantly tune it out.
I know. It's sad. But one thing we're going to talk about in the next hour, wherever you are on the abortion issue, you know we have Amendment 3 on the ballot. We're no on 3 here, pretty staunchly, because it would ensconce abortion up to birth into the Constitution in the state of Missouri. And I don't know anybody that supports that. I don't know why in the world anybody would support that. But in Florida, they've got a similar ballot initiative on the ballot. And yesterday, a reporter asked Donald Trump how he's going to vote on it. And I think some of you will be shocked by his answer. We're going to get to that for you coming up in the next hour. I promise. So J.J. Carafano, Attorney General Andrew Bailey is going to call in a little later as well, around 7:35. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Welcome back. Little Van Halen for you. Carl's going down the set list for me. I've got my 2012 Van Halen concert T-shirt on this morning. Saving the classic black Van Halen T-shirt with the original VH emblem for the show on Saturday, Carl.
And you can buy a new one there, Mark.
I can buy a new one there. I wonder what it'll be called. Just Best of All Worlds? Is that what they're calling this tour?
Yeah.
Something like that? I don't know. Should be good. Looking forward to it. Already making the plans. Can't wait to see Sammy and the boys
this
along
is
with
Kim's
Kenny Aronoff.
Favorite song.
Oh, boy.
No comment.
Come on, baby. Close your eyes. All right. Anyway, just as I promoted Evan Brown coming up in a few minutes, he called us and he canceled on us.
Well, he didn't call. His people called.
He's got people who called.
Because his phone is messing up.
His people called your people.
Whatever. But it's pretty funny. I got a message because of my snarky comment about long hair hippie type libertarians who smoke dope and shoot guns and pointed out that currently you're violating the law when you do that. And one of my attorney friends wrote in and said that not only is he in favor of the athletes getting paid, he wishes he had long hair down to his butt, but he's still a libertarian hairless person. I love you guys. You know that. I'm just giving you a little bit of grief. But I'll talk about the lawsuit, the U.S. appeals court that ruled that a pot-smoking gun owner in Texas cannot be prosecuted for violating a federal ban on the use of illegal drugs and owning firearms at the same time. I don't know how they arrived at that logic, because it's still illegal federally to buy pot. Now, Congress needs to fix that. I agree with that. As much as I don't like pot, I agree that Congress needs to fix that, because it's legal in so many states now. There's just no reason to have that conflict.
More than half now.
Well, I'm just saying they got to fix it. But for now, it's not fixed. I don't know how a federal appeals court judge arrived at that ruling. But we were going to get Evan on, and by golly, we didn't do that. Hey, let's get back to Nicole Shanahan real quick, Carl. Because I thought that that bite was that was pretty funny that I sent to you yesterday. Which one is that on my list here?
20 and 21.
Oh, it's down at the bottom. There it is. So Nicole Shanahan, I can't even say her name this morning, is RFK's vice presidential candidate. And, of course, they've now endorsed Donald Trump. She's put this ad out that's almost 2 minutes long, talking to her former fellow liberals on reality these days. Go to cut 20, please.
Are you or your loved ones suffering from illnesses such as TDS, also known as Trump derangement syndrome? Do you dismiss or deny the current issues facing our country, such as historic inflation, illegal immigration, corporate corruption, World War III escalations, and the chronic disease epidemic? Are you willing to elect someone who was the least popular vice president in modern history, and who offers no policy or vision for America simply because your brain keeps telling you anyone but Trump? If so, you might be struggling from TDS. Introducing Independence. Independence allows you the freedom to finally think independently once again. Instead of believing everything you hear from the mainstream media, Independence allows for constructive critical thinking.
I used to hear people on the news say things like,
Donald Trump and the movement he has encouraged are a threat to democracy.
And I instantly believed it.
That's good.
It really is well done. The visual portion of it, if you can find it online, is even better, because it shows people sitting on a TV, mind-numbed, watching the TV, and a picture of Donald Trump comes up, and they open their mouths shocked, like they can't. They're shocked by even seeing him laying a wreath at Arlington National Cemetery.
Yeah, that whole fiasco surrounding that was ridiculous. This is nitpicking. I wish they would have said, do you suffer from da-da-da-da-da? You might have Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
So that people don't just tune it out. As soon as they hear Trump, people who have Trump derangement syndrome would instantly tune it out.
I know. It's sad. But one thing we're going to talk about in the next hour, wherever you are on the abortion issue, you know we have Amendment 3 on the ballot. We're no on 3 here, pretty staunchly, because it would ensconce abortion up to birth into the Constitution in the state of Missouri. And I don't know anybody that supports that. I don't know why in the world anybody would support that. But in Florida, they've got a similar ballot initiative on the ballot. And yesterday, a reporter asked Donald Trump how he's going to vote on it. And I think some of you will be shocked by his answer. We're going to get to that for you coming up in the next hour. I promise. J.J. Carafano, Attorney General Andrew Bailey is going to call in a little later as well, around 7:35. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.